I'd like to call the meeting of the Carson City Open Space Advisory Committee to order. Welcome everyone here. It's December 15th, 2014, and this is our regular meeting. Could we have a roll call, please?
Chairperson Scott.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Riedel.
Here.
Member Evans.
Here.
Member Fitzsimmons. Member Emberson.
Here.
Member Lincoln.
Here.
Member Welburn.
Here.
A quorum's present.
Thank you. I was contacted by Laura Fitzsimmons earlier and last week after the agenda came out, who indicated she would be in Las Vegas today and unable to be back for tonight's meeting. At this time, we'd like to call for public comments. We have public comment sessions at the beginning and ending of the meeting, as well as after or as part of each of the agenda items. Is there anyone who would like to comment on anything that's not a part of the agenda at this point? Okay, seeing none, we'll move forward. We have minutes from our last meeting, which was September 15th. Do we have any comments, corrections, or notations to the minutes? Our recording secretary has indicated to me that she has made a few typographical updates, but anything else from the committee? Yes, Donna.
At 5:41:50, had instructed him not to tear, I assume, down the existing cabins on the property.
Okay. Missing a word there. Any other comments or corrections?
One more. On page 4.
Go ahead.
First line, rebate on the final purchase price to be used for maintenance. That's it.
Okay. You didn't used to teach school, did you?
No.
Okay.
Well,
thank you, Donna. Are there any other comments or questions? Any public comment? Okay. Do we have a motion to approve the minutes as modified?
Move to approve the September 15th, 2014 minutes.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Do we have any modifications to the agenda?
Chairman, no, I do not have any modifications.
Okay. The first topical item is something that I'm looking forward to seeing, and that is a discussion on some, it's a presentation for us to be aware of with regard to some rather impressive drawings that you had in your packet from Erica Gallegos, who is here with us. And Vern, are you going to present that?
Yes, I will kick this off and then turn it over to Erica. So for the record, Vern Cron, Carson City Senior Park Planner. I'll just kind of work everybody through the staff report and for those at home. At the beginning of the school year, Erica, a senior AP art student at Carson High School, approached our department to do a senior project that involved painting a mural for Carson City. Every senior, just so the committee knows, every senior at the high school is required to successfully complete a senior project in order to graduate from high school. This presented staff with a great opportunity to support Erica, increase art and cultural awareness in the community, address an unattractive and graffiti-prone neighborhood entrance into the Fullstone Wetlands, and create a public-private partnership with an adjacent property owner. So we're real excited to be here this evening. As a part of the project requirement, Eric is going to be the one who carries the presentation. So it won't be me. I'm not the one having to graduate from high school again. So it's her. And so we're going to let her take over. I've reviewed the presentation. I think she's done an amazing job with not only the presentation, but what you'll see this evening. So having said that, I think it's going to be up to Erica to move forward.
Thank you, Vern. Go ahead, Erica.
Thank you, Vern. I'm Erica. And this is my Fullstone Wetland mural project. So as a senior, I had to do a senior project, and I decided to paint a mural. I wanted to merge my interest with art and benefit the community as well. And I thought that painting a mural was a great way to do that. So for the research portion of my project, I'm looking at the different ways that public art can benefit a community and society. And one of the points of emphasis will be murals and how they contribute to that. As for the goals of my project, like I said, I hope to help the community. Since this wall has been graffitied in the past, I hope that painting a mural will prevent that from happening in the future. I also hope to capture the essence of this wetland, because I know that the property owners, Dennis and Tony, they feel very passionate about their backyard, and this wetland's really beautiful, and I want to be able to represent that in my design. I hope to gain experience and skills in this project, which I already have, public speaking. I've conducted several meetings, and I've solicited donations around town, so that's kind of a step out of my comfort zone. Also, I hope this project lays a sort of foundation for a future career, because right now I'm looking at pursuing a degree in environmental science and minoring in art, so those both play sort of a role in this, and that's nice. The wall itself is located along the entrance of the Fullstone Wetlands. Like I said, it's been tagged with graffiti in the past. Its dimensions are 75 feet long by 6 feet high, which is pretty large for a mural, but I'm excited to accept that challenge. And in fact, this entire project is kind of a learning stretch for me. I've drawn since I can remember, but I've never done something to this scale before. And I'm excited to explore with this new medium and everything. So this is where the wall is located. It's the wetlands are right next to the freeway and across from the Boys and Girls Club. Here's a better photo. There are three entrances to the wetland, and that one in the middle is where the wall is located, across from Spooner Drive and along East Ridge Lane. This is what the wall looks like before the mural. These are just some pictures I took when I was trying to come up with a design and find inspiration from the wetland while I was there. So far, I've developed three initial concept designs, each with their own theme and their own color scheme. And I came together with the property owners and the city staff, and we discussed the designs and narrowed it down to one theme. And from there, I edited it, and I tried to expand it to the entire wall to scale, and I completed my final design. This design was approved by the property owners, and here I am today. The city maintenance staff also, they completed the base coat already for me, so which is really helpful because I can just get started into painting the rest of the layers. After presenting to you, I will present to the Cultural Commission tomorrow, and then I can get started on the wall. I've already made my rounds soliciting donations this fall, but I'm going to go again by February, so now that I have more specifics and specific paints and supplies that I'll need. And then I'll start painting, and I hope to get that done by April 10th, which is around spring break, and then the entire project is due the 15th. Now, depending on the weather conditions in Nevada, I may need to enlist the help of other AP art students and friends and family, depending on how much time I have in the spring. But I'm hoping to do as much as I can on my own, because it's my project, and I really want to experience as much as I can of it. This is what the design looks like from start to finish. There's different wildlife and plant life that I tried to incorporate. And these are just the sketches. It was really, it was kind of difficult finding a design that could encompass the entirety of the wall since it's so long, but also not overdue with detail or color. So I went with sort of a silhouette, kind of monochromatic theme, and I think it works pretty well. And this is just the design from start to finish, like you're walking through the wall, or not through the wall, but along the wall. And that's it. So thank you, and I'd also like to thank Vern, Scott, and Roger, Dennis and Tony, the property owners, and my mentor, Mr. Mike Malley.
Thank you, Erica. Nice presentation.
Thank you.
Do we have any questions or comments from the committee?
Yes.
Yeah, Trish.
This is great. I love it. But do we own that part of the wetlands already? That's the park area, right?
The wetlands, yes, we do own the wetlands.
Not the one that's in your works program. Okay. Secondly, I was curious about what type of paint or coatings that you're using on the wall.
I'll be using acrylic, I'm pretty sure.
Is it weather resistant?
Yeah.
Is it the kind that they can just spray off the graffiti can't stick on it? Isn't there some kind of coating that you can use like that?
Let me field that question. The plan is right now is once Erica gets the mural completed, city staff will go in and graffiti coat the entire wall so that if somebody does tag it, we'll be able to go back in and clean it off without damaging the mural, and then we would probably, I think it's a, depending on the graffiti coat we use, sometimes you have to reapply the graffiti coat over the area that was tagged, but we'll figure that out. But that's the intent, is we're going to, when Eric is done, we will do some sort of a graffiti coating over it.
That's great, because that's a lot of work that could be quickly and easily damaged otherwise. And then I think that you should add to the items, especially because I do the senior project judging. So I know you have to list the things you learned and stuff. So if you have to get your help from your classmates, which is probably a really good idea for that large of a wall, then you can add project management and staff management to your list. So don't forget to do that.
Yes, Margie.
Is there a place that other people who hear about this can help out by donating some funds or offering to help with volunteering and stuff?
Not right now, there isn't, but that's a good idea. I don't know about volunteering it for the wall. I'm trying to keep it as as limited as possible because I do want to do it myself a lot. But that's an interesting idea. I don't know.
You might focus on the money side.
Yeah.
I'd be happy to help you, but the results would be disastrous. So.
Maybe I'll just add to that for Erica. Perhaps if anyone is interested in donating money, perhaps if that's what Erica needs, Vern Kahn in our office has been the main contact, so they can contact him.
And our department does accept donations, and we can specifically target it toward, buying paint for her. If somebody would wish to do that.
Great. Be sure that we see your name on there somewhere. We want a signed mural.
Okay.
Seriously, that's important. You should get full credit for it. Are the Morrisons here by chance? Okay.
They were invited. I don't believe they were able to make
it
this evening.
We'd like to recognize your mom and dad. That's a great project. Thank you very much. Okay, any other comments? This is a discussion item, informational for the committee. Anything else for Erica? Yes, Mike.
What's the budget for the whole thing?
We said around $200-ish, but we're prepared to cover that cost, too, ourselves.
Pretty sure you found a donor.
Yeah, we... let us know if there's any problem with money.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Any other public comment? Okay. Very nice job, Erica. Thank you for joining us, and we wish you well. We'll look forward to doing this, and I would appreciate if staff could let the committee know when we can go out and look.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I forgot to ask if there, again, if there were any public comments. I think I did ask once, but okay. I get reprimanded for that periodically. Okay, item number 3B, presentation and discussion only on the BLM Resource Management Plan, Colleen, by Ms. Colleen Sievers. Good evening.
Good evening. Mr. Chair, if I can have one moment to set up for a presentation here.
Oh, certainly.
That's all I need?
Yeah, that's... Vern, thanks.
Oh, you're welcome. This has been a fun project. And sometimes when it comes to project management, I'm not sure who's managing who, but Erica certainly moves us along when we need to. So.
Mr. Chair, for the record, Ann Bollinger, Open Space Administrator. This agenda item is a presentation on the BLM Resource Management Plan by Ms. Colleen Sievers. And some of the other items I'd like to discuss on this item tonight is assistance with the committee to help review this document, because this is our time to provide input. And it is perhaps our desire to bring this item back to the committee, not necessarily with Colleen, in February with recommendations to the Board of Supervisors that then we will submit to BLM for their deadline in March.
Okay. Colleen, before you start, I want to add one thing for the committee's benefit. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at this. There's a comprehensive delineation of alternatives that have been considered and are being considered as part of this review process. If you recall, we have a lot of interface areas with BLM that are particularly sensitive from a number of perspectives, motorized vehicles, off-road vehicles, shooting, camping, and other areas are all things that we're going to be needing to review and discuss. And I think review the draft management plan in the context of how we see our management plan and goals for particularly the areas of Silver Saddle where we have interface, but other areas as well. So with that, I would just emphasize Ann's comments that this is a report that we need to review and provide comments on to assist the BLM in their final determination of a preferred alternative. So, Colleen, we're happy to have you with us. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Again, my name is Colleen Sievers. I am the Carson City Resource Management Plan project lead. I've been working on this project for well over 3 years now. Carson City is a cooperating agency on our document, and we've worked extensively with Juan and now Ann on trying to make sure we are capturing and considering items that Carson City has brought forward. Before I get too started, I would like to introduce two people. We have Ralph Thomas, who is the new Carson City District Manager, and Leon Thomas.
Good. Thank you.
Sierra
nice
Front Field
nice
Manager.
Of you both to come. Leon's been here before, but Ralph, yep. It's nice to meet you and have you join us. Thank you.
So Carson City, in our planning area, we have almost 9 million acres. About 4.8 million of that is BLM managed lands. We do manage have land in 11 counties in 2 states. We do go into California. The reason why we are needing to revise our current resource management plan, and I'm going to call it the RMP, we have a lot of decisions within our existing document, which is over 20 years old, that are out of date. Land has already been transferred. New topics have come to the forefront, the intense urban interface use, renewable energy, sage grouse as well. So we are working through that process. So for Carson City, we have just over 41,000 acres of BLM-managed lands. So we started scoping this project back in early 2012. We had about well over 1,700 comments, focusing on a lot of our usual kinds of suspects, wild horse and burros, special designations, minerals. As I mentioned before, for cooperating agencies, we have 27 signed-on partners, of which Carson City is one of those. To date, we've done over 100 public presentations and meetings on the document, which is a huge amount of outreach to the public, again, trying to gather the information we need to consider within our range of alternatives. So as Bruce mentioned, we do have 5 alternatives that we are considering. Within the National Environmental Policy Act, we need to consider a range. That's what this is. Alternative A is our no action alternative, current management. It's what we're doing right now. Alternative B is more of a resource use intensive focus, usually has the fewest protective measures. Alternative C has a conservation or preservation emphasis. Lots more protected areas, a lot more special designations for those, and increased restrictions. Alternative D is kind of a unique alternative. It's kind of an urban interface focused alternative. Changes in land tenure, recreational use, ways to enhance the community development. And then alternative E is the agency preferred. While BLM has identified a preferred alternative, we still have plenty of time to pick and choose. We do not have to pick one full alternative as we make a decision. We can choose pieces. There are no decisions that have been made to date. This is all analysis at this point, just different ways of doing business. And that's just an important focus. So I've pulled out a few resources that I thought might be of interest to Carson City. It only covers a small portion of what we cover within the document, but I tried to just kind of keep it focused on issues that we were facing right here. Wild Horse and Burrow is one of those. I'm primarily going to talk about alternative E as the agency preferred. We do have a reduction in herd management areas, the HMAs. Overall, within the district, it's a reduction of about 13%, or about 165,000 acres. Next slide. So for Carson City, and it's kind of hard to see, the yellow is BLM-managed lands, and then the red, it's kind of hatch-marked, is called a herd area. That's where horses were found back in 1971. The blue area is what BLM is proposing as the pine nut herd management area. The boundary has been pulled back in that alternative to reduce some of those conflicts that we have with development and houses and those kinds of things. Visual resource management. We have 4 classes of visual resource management that we look at. Class 1 is usually reserved for wilderness areas, where there cannot be any changes to the landscape. VRM Class 2 allows for modifications to that visual setting, but they need to be really minor and not very noticeable. Class 3 allows for some major modifications to the landscape, but typically they don't dominate the landscape. And VRM Class 4 allows for major modifications that are very obvious to the casual observer. Currently, we have a whole lot of land that is undesignated. It does not have a visual resource management class, and so we've tried to account for that and actually give it a class. So for Carson City, the blue area is proposed under Alternative E to be VRM Class 2. It follows the National Historic Trail, essentially. The green is VRM Class 4. And the yellow or orange is proposed to be VRM Class 3, where we allow some modifications, but they will not dominate. For the recreation and travel management, for Carson City, there are no SRMAs proposed, which stands for Special Recreation Management Areas. That is where recreation is the primary focus of those areas. Carson City, we're not proposing any. The extensive recreation management areas, we are proposing some that do come over into Carson City. Better ways of managing the recreation aspect and component to the lands that we manage. So for Carson City, the orange is under Alternative E proposed to be an extensive recreation management area, where recreation needs some special management to protect those values, but it's kind of equal to protecting other values, cultural values, visual values, wildlife values. All of those things play in there together. One of the big topics, and that we've heard a lot from the public on, is the open, limited, closed designation to roads and trails. There are no changes to what is currently designated within Carson City. Currently, it's all limited to existing roads and trails. We're not proposing to change that at all. The next step after the resource management plan is completed is the actual travel management planning component, where we will go out and designate specific roads as open or closed, depending on where they are and what the resource concerns are. But for right now, we're not proposing, it'll all be limited at this point, just continuing current management. For the lands and realty portion, a lot of land right now is already identified for being available for disposal within Carson City. A lot of that happened with the legislation that was passed several years ago. There is about 40 acres that we are actually going to propose to be available for disposal, and it's over by the water tank. It was held out of that legislation, but we'd worked with the with Carson City on making sure that we had all the lands that the city was interested identified within our range of alternatives. There are some right-of-way avoidance and exclusion areas where we do not want to issue right-of-ways for, like, major power lines coming through. Mostly it's to protect visual values, those kinds of things. Areas of critical environmental concern, we use the acronym ACECs. Currently, Carson City has six identified within our whole district. Under Alternative E, we're proposing to add two more to make it a total of eight. So within the Carson City area, and not much of it actually, the purple area outlines proposed ACECs. There's actually several layered in there. There are some cultural ones. There's a bi-state sage-grouse ACEC that is proposed. There are some botanical ACECs proposed in there. So they all kind of overlayer just depending on where they are. An important note about ACECs is that there is not blanket management for an ACEC. The management that we outline varies by what resource we're trying to protect. So if we're trying to protect a botanical ACEC, there'll be management actions specific to botanical or cultural or sage-grouse, for example. So it's not a blanket, you can't do anything in there and it applies straight across the board. That's not the case. It does vary, and it can vary by alternative. And even the areas that we're proposing can vary by alternative. And so we do have some of that in there. So this is kind of the last slide. It kind of just shows kind of where we're going. Our document went out to the public for review and comment on the end of November. It's out for 120 days. It closes March 27th. It is 2,000 pages. That is a lot of reading material to go through. We are really wanting the public to participate in the process. We do have a public meeting scheduled here in Carson City on the end of January the 24th from 2 to 6 p.m. It's going to be held at the Carson Plaza Hotel. I mean, we would really like to have the public come out and interact with the staff, ask questions, see what we're proposing and what the concerns were and why we proposed what we did. We really do need comments, continued comments from our cooperating agencies, being Carson City. If there is something that we left out, if there was something that we needed to address more thoroughly, we really need those details. So that's kind of what I had on the RMP. I did want to bring up one other small thing. BLM does have an Adopt-a-Space program, and we are, I'll have some brochures and I'll leave them on the back table on our way out. It is a new trash cleanup program where we are looking for partners and volunteers to go out and pick areas to help clean up, because we do have quite a dumping problem. And we do have a cleanup at the end of December, and if you have questions, you can contact the BLM office or Leon or his staff. So I'd be happy to answer questions.
Thank you, Colleen. Questions from the committee? Yes, go ahead.
Hi, my question is, where I went through the packet of information that we were given for this meeting. Where can I see more detail on the specifics of the various options? For example, there was a big difference in some of your vegetation classes across the different options, mm-hmm. and I'd like to see what's going to be sacrificed or what's going to be protected within the different options. Where can I find that?
Did you look at the document that was available online?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Well, I looked at the document that came in our packet. It may not have been the entire document.
Okay. The entire document is located on our BLM webpage.
Okay.
If you go to the Carson City BLM webpage, there's a box, and it says click here, and it takes you right into the project website. And under documents, there's a tab under documents. It has the full document there. So you can actually get into a whole lot more detail. And chapter two is where we really talk about the alternatives and why we're doing what we're doing. And we have a lot of summary tables to help facilitate the readers knowing what the difference is across the alternatives.
You're welcome.
Donna?
Yeah, just a couple of things. You might want to add a list of definitions of your acronyms. I had to hunt through the document to figure out some of the acronyms, and you answered a couple of them that I hadn't been able to figure out. Regarding the recreation and travel management, how do you determine what is already an existing trail or road? Because, you know, it doesn't take very long for somebody to go out there and create one. Mm-hmm. So
it is a challenge for the BLM, and considering Carson City has almost 5 million acres and trying to gather all that road data, we do have staff out trying to collect data now on what's existing roads and trails. We are using aerial photographs. We are partnering with some of the user groups to gather data. Some counties have provided us their road data, and it's really thorough. We realize this is going to be an ongoing process, and travel management planning takes years to complete. One of the things we did talk about in our resource management plan was breaking it out into areas, travel management areas. So they're smaller chunks that we can focus in on. One of our big focus areas is the Pine Nuts because it does see intense recreation use. And that is one of the areas that we are focusing on first. Some of that trail data comes from not just a two-track, but single-track trails, horse trails, walking trails. I mean, we're trying to distinguish a lot of those things, but we're collecting data right now. But it's going to take us a while.
To answer Donna's question, their document does have the acronyms. What I provided to you was just the executive summary. Remember, their document's 1,500 pages, and I did not want to provide that to the committee.
It would be nice if they had access to that. Okay, yeah, because, you know, it's a big concern, and it does mm-hmm. not take long in our fragile desert system mm-hmm. to have a new trail that now is an existing trail.
Correct.
Or road. And one other thing, regarding animal grazing, it may be in the full document, but is there any plan to evaluate the fees that are being charged and whether or not those are as high as they should be?
That is outside the scope of our resource management plan. That's a Washington office level decision, well beyond what we can control here in Carson.
Anything else, Donna?
No, thank you.
Howard, anything?
Just a question for Ann. So this will come back on the 23rd, and that'll be within the 120-day comment period. We'll make it?
Correct. Their deadline for comments is March 27th.
Other comments from the committee? A couple things that I had. Colleen, we're struggling with some of our management associated with acquisitions we have along the Carson River and the Silver Saddle area acquisitions that we have. And one of the things I would hope that we could do would be to understand what some of your how you're looking at some of those areas, so that we can look at things like staging areas that contribute or that potentially serve BLM lands where existing trails are being utilized for off-road, for example, or you know, just so that we're coordinated with what we're looking at as you are looking at, you know, from the other side of the boundary, so to speak. And I don't know, that's probably a good staff-level discussion, but I would suggest that we don't want to be either contributing to a problem on your end or blocking off an area that you feel should be made accessible or remain accessible. We have a lot of places within the areas that we either own currently or will probably acquire where there is an awful lot of off-road use that we may want to try to manage to protect some of the areas that are being impacted while still preserving access to the BLM land on the other side. And we would just want to try to make sure that we weren't doing something that was contrary or you know, setting one of us up for the, you know, for doing the wrong thing at the interface. And I realize you can't predetermine what actions you might take, but I would urge you to coordinate with our staff so that we can do the best job possible given the relative time frames that we're on in making sure we don't create an administrative problem through independent, you know, approval of plans that have inherent inconsistencies.
When we get to that travel management portion, and we will be starting to look at staging areas and parking areas and any developed campsites or anything of that nature, we will be working closely with the public, and we will be coming back to the county for that portion. Because Carson City has been a great partner. I mean, we need something, we call, and we get participation, we get input, and we are working well together. So we will definitely continue that.
Okay, and then from a staff perspective, I think the kinds of things that on first blush, and I have not looked at the main document, but on first blush with what we have here, the visual quality impacts, I think, are things this committee should be aware of, and also areas of critical environmental concern that affect Carson City would be things that I would ask staff, along with the recreation and travel management, to kind of help us focus on as a committee so that we don't get lost in the rest of the 1,600 pages. And then as a separate question, realizing it's probably outside the scope, we have a couple of funny little areas that in our minds should have been included in the congressional action on the lands bill and weren't, particularly on the east side of Sierra Vista Way. There's a boundary in there that is a little bit strange. Is there anything in this document that might or could support a future request for making an adjustment in that boundary? And I don't know if that reference means anything to you, Colleen, but what looks like it might have been intended to be more or less a straight north-south line has a little piece out of it. And that's an area that, from a management perspective, might make sense to straighten up if we had the ability.
You know, I can work with Ann, and if that parcel area is brought forward to us, we can make sure we include it. Within a resource management plan, we have to identify lands for disposal. If they are not identified in our land use plan, we will not be able to dispose of them in the future without doing an amendment, which nobody wants to go there at this point. So we need to make sure that we've considered them now.
Okay.
So it would be this is very much the appropriate time to bring it forward and look more closely at it.
Great. Okay, you guys can help us pay attention to that.
We can certainly do that.
Okay. Is there any public comment at this point? Questions? Yes. Come on forward, Morris.
Good evening, Commission.
You're going to
talking
about fishing, right?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
For the record, Morris White, I noticed on page ES12 on table 2, under the comprehensive travel and transportation acres. BLM, as stated tonight, they prefer alternative E. On the very first line there, open to motorized and mechanized travel, apparently there's 3,840,300 acres available, and alternative E suggests that only 55,700 acres would be available. I'm wondering, is there an inventory to the reduction of these facilities somewhere that we might be able to take a look at?
Okay. If I understand, and Colleen, please, if you can you address that? Basically, I assume what you've done is you, in the limited category, you basically said we're going to have it limited to existing trails, but I don't mean to speak for you.
Currently, we have over 3.8 million acres that are what we call open, which means you can go cross country. BLM policy is more leaning toward limited to existing roads and trails. And we have areas in our district right now that are undesignated, which we manage as open. Which also plays into that. Do we have an existing inventory? We have a partial inventory, but as I had mentioned, we are in the process of collecting that data now so that we can manage it to existing roads and trails.
While you're there, a question that comes to mind. We know that the trails are pretty haphazard a lot of times. Is there a provision for consolidation or relocation of existing trails to better meet environmental values and yet maintain the off-road access? In other words, when you're out there, you can see places that look like this is a heck of a place to put a road. If we did it over here, if we didn't do this, we would have a lot better roadway and a lot less impact on the environment. And do your limited or your restricted designations provide for that kind of an improvement, if you will, rather than elimination of complete access?
Yes, it does. When we get into that travel management planning process, the next step after the decision is made, we will look at all the roads out there. Are there duplicates? Are there areas that need improvement? Are there resource concerns? What are the overlapping issues? We certainly don't want an OHV or an open road next to a shooting area. We will be looking at roads that are adjacent to subdivisions. Is that an appropriate location for those? So that's that next step in travel management planning, that we will start looking specifically at each road and what's necessary, what's redundant to protect the resources.
Thank you. Morris, we'll give you the floor back. Sorry.
Thank you. I hope I didn't misunderstand, but I'm certainly surprised that BLM has no restriction against driving off out through the sagebrush. I certainly would not recommend that, and at this time I would ask BLM to put into this plan that there are restrictions and penalties for driving off out through the sagebrush. That's certainly not what I would advocate for. If I could take your attention to page ES-22, also under comprehensive travel and transportation management, there on the second line, it says, under alternative A, more areas would be available to unrestricted travel under this alternative, which I happen to like. However, it says, resulting in more service disturbance and resource damage. How, without a study of the situation, do we know there would be resource damage? This appears, again, as I have complained repeatedly, an arbitrary statement that comes from a best practices management book. And I think before we can make the statement that there will be resource damage due to a road, we have to have a study that proves it. Thank you.
Thank you, Morris. Any other public comment?
May I clarify?
Colleen, please.
The executive summary is a summary of the whole 2,000-page document. If you go into Chapter 4, where we talk about impacts, that more clearly defines the differences between Alternative A and Alternative B, and you start weighing which alternative has more impacts on a resource. So the executive summary is just that. It's a summary of the whole entire document. So please come to our public meeting, and we'll be happy to further talk about it.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Pauline, thank you very much. Yes, Ann.
Before you close this item, Mr. Chair, I did receive a printed copy of two, what do you call them? Not binders, but they're pretty thick volumes of the plan. Colleen, is that the only printed copy in Carson City? I know there's one at your office, but do I have the only other?
You have the only other one in Carson City.
So I will deliver that to the library, so it's available to the public during the library hours.
Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you very much. We appreciate members of the BLM being here. It's nice to see you, and we'll look forward to continuing the dialogue. Okay, moving along to item 3C, discussion and possible action to recommend to the Board of Supervisors the mid-year revisions to the Quality of Life Open Space Budget. Ann?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Before we move on to the other items, talking about acquisitions and our work plan, I thought it was an important time to look at our budget, and especially at this time of year when we received the mid-year budget revisions. From last fiscal year, and our fiscal year ends on June 30th, from that time, we had a remaining balance of $255,253. And so it is at this time that we look at our account lines, determine do we want to add or subtract, or how exactly do we want to manage our money. And so what I have provided to the committee are some of the suggestions, and feel free to provide comments and changes to this. But some of the items I'd like to bring to your attention at this time, the salary dollar figure has not changed. And that at this time, and remember, this budget is now for the next 6 months, and so it's not we're not discussing the new fiscal year, which starts July 1st. One of the items the committee has talked about is the possible need for a ranger. So next fiscal year, we will need to look at a higher dollar figure. That is important to keep in mind as I continue down the list. We have increased the hourly seasonal line item by $15,000. That will help us to support a weed coordinator for the city. That weed coordinator will also be funded by the Parks Division, as well as Public Works and the Carson Water Subconservancy, who's providing the biggest chunk of money. They provide $15,000 to the county for weed control efforts. And just a small part of that is towards that position. The extra might be towards seasonal weed crews come spring, and that's when we spend a lot of money. Professional services, we increased that line item $25,000, but the difference also here is we subtracted from the contractual services. That was just a line item we just did not use. And so we've zeroed out that line and added it under professional services for a revised budget of $75,000. And actually, by adding $25,000, at this time of year, midway through the fiscal year, it's a good move because we've already spent half our budget. So we're kind of on track. Yes, Howard.
Is professional services appraisals?
It is appraisals. It is surveying. It is engineering, resource concepts. Mark Kimbrough with Washoe Zephyr Trail Consulting. Yes. Our maintenance management, I did not add money at this time. Our revised budget stays the same at $123,000. To date, we've only spent $20,000 in that line item. But it also, as I mentioned, come spring when we do some rain spraying, that will quickly bump up. Fire suppression cannot change. $38,000 is our contribution to what's kind of the fire insurance account for the city. The fire department, public works, and other divisions contribute to that program. Horse Creek Stewardship, this was initially a $50,000 donation by Michael Fagan, who's in our audience this evening. ISC is the internal service charge. Land acquisition, the budget prior to revision was $37,000. Almost all of that money is earmarked for the Araith acquisition, which is the trail segment just along the freeway to continue the freeway path. We have not closed, so just kind of consider that money is earmarked. Because we had money left over from last year, I added $100,000 to that line item. One of those reasons is if the committee wishes to move forward on the Highway 50 parcel owned by Mr. Fagan, but also possible other acquisitions, which is continuation of the freeway path. But that is completely under your discretion. The lands bill, $384,000, that dollar amount also cannot change, but it is here for your information. That number was calculated in the legislative bill that said 25% of the difference of the Bernhardt property, which is over by Silver Saddle. Carson City Open Space purchased it in 2001 to help BLM. When they were able to acquire funding, they purchased it from us in 2006, and we made money on the deal. We helped them, but we made money. And so in the legislative bill, one of the ways to ease that suffering was calculated 25% of that difference that will be in a designated stewardship account for Silver Saddle Ranch. BLM will hold the money, but it is designated for Silver Saddle Ranch. And then I left $110,000 in the undesignated account, which we can use anywhere, anytime throughout the fiscal year. So we can still move that money around as needed. Let's see. I think I've explained all those items. Are there any comments or questions?
Yes, Donna.
Yeah, you didn't explain training. I see you bumped that up by 2,000. Does that include the volunteer, the new package that's supposedly coming out with for volunteers and the training of volunteers? I know that there was new policies being developed and everything.
Donna, I think what you're referring to is the training packets and the information that comes from our Department of Human Resources.
Right.
And so that, I think the reason that we bumped this up is anticipation that we're going to have, maybe by the end of the year, an additional employee that will need some training.
Okay. Other questions from the committee? Help me, Roger and Ann. This goes to the board as a mid-course correction. The undesignated, does it have to be designated by the board if we choose to spend that money in the future?
If the undesignated is really kind of meant to be there as a contingency fund to some degree. So if there is a project or a program that needs to be funded that is not in the budget, we can take a look at expending that from the contingency or from the undesignated, but there'll have to be a line item created at that time for that expenditure. And depending on the amount of the expenditure, it may have to go to the board for approval.
Okay, I'm just thinking with our meeting schedule, if we needed to make a change, then we would be restricted to the department level authorization or a board action.
That is correct, or there's always a possibility that we could have, depending on the nature of the expenditure, a special meeting for one topic only. That does get difficult to try to plan when we look at the schedule in this building and rooms, but that's certainly an opportunity.
Okay, thank you. I like the idea of having a chance to look at it now while we can anticipate looking ahead at spring and other things that we've maybe talked about the first 6 months of the year. So from that perspective, it's nice to take this opportunity to try to make the adjustments with the board. Do we have any public comment? Any questions? Okay. Anything further from the committee? Do we have a motion?
I move to recommend to the Board of Supervisors the mid-year revisions to the Quality of Life Open Space budget as presented.
Do we have a second?
I second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Item 3D, to recommend or not recommend to the Board of Supervisors the possible acquisition of 20 acres, assessor parcel number 00705181, consider a trade of other parcels, and the expenditure of up to $30,000 for appraisals from the open space budget. Ann.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The first question perhaps I will address here. Why is that dollar amount so high for appraisals? And yes, it is high. I wanted to put a ceiling on it. If we're considering trade of any other parcels, keep in mind that we would need to appraise any and all because we need to know those dollar figures. But I'd like to go ahead and run through a quick presentation here for you, as well as for the public. The parcel is owned by Michael Fagan. He is in our audience this evening. It is located along Highway 50, so Carson City is to the right on the map, Highway 50 traveling up to Lake Tahoe. It is 20 acres located just on the north side of Highway 50. To help you out a little more, this is the Clear Creek interchange. The parcel is roughly located on our Unified Pathways Master Plan. And this is important because this perhaps could be the biggest benefit of ownership of this parcel. And a few pictures to show you the character of the land. To the right is east, and then west is to the right. And it provides some perspective. Here's the Forest Service sign. Okay, so in initial conversations with appraiser Bill Kimmel, Michael Fagan, and Mr. Kimmel, Mr. Kimmel suggested that $250,000 is a fair price for the property. Of course, we would have to do our appraisals if the committee wishes to pursue this property. As recommended by the board at the last meeting, we did an evaluation of the property, and that is included in your packets. In general, the open space evaluation for this property was probably about medium. There are 16 criteria. The criteria that rated high, there were only five. And the five criteria that rated high was possibly the wildlife habitat and corridors, even though in my comments I added it's medium to high because it's located close to Highway 50, so that's why I downgraded, but it is also adjacent to vast amounts of undeveloped land. So in that sense, it would be high criteria. A couple others, and where it rated high, it contains a ridge or promontory view with long views, just amazing views towards Carson Valley. It is visible from major roads. It's right next to Highway 50. Significant portions can be open to the public. With that said, access would need to be developed, but there's nothing constraining access to the public on this parcel. And the fifth element, it is part of our open space plan. The first map that I provided was our open space opportunities map. So in the beginning, it has been identified as a possible acquisition. The other criteria, four of the criteria rated medium, and then about half the criteria was low to none. So for open space acquisitions, it's just not very high, but keep in mind that other acquisitions, just like the RIEF, open space can and has purchased property to help with trails and trail connectivity in Carson City.
And could you go back to the first slide with the map on it? The blue area just north of the subject parcel?
That is Carson City open space.
That is property that we purchased from
Mr. Fagan.
So it would be adjacent to that parcel.
That is correct.
Okay.
And the parcel to the west is state lands.
Okay. And does the undercrossing of the highway come on state land then?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Okay. And we spoke last time when we talked about this as a committee about looking at exchanges or possible utilization of other properties that Carson City owned. And what we're looking at here is basically a step that would allow, if there were parcels Mr. Fagan was interested in, for the appraisals that would be necessary for an exchange or a partial exchange to occur. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay. Any questions of the committee at this time? Okay. Mike, did you or Colette have anything to add?
Yes, this is Michael Fagan. Roger and Ann and Colette and I sat down, I don't know, a month or two ago and looked at a lot of the parcels that Carson City owns. And I would say probably 80% of them were not appropriate because they either had restrictions or there were parks or there were schools or, but there were maybe a half a dozen that looked interesting. And we looked into some of those and found out that indeed some of those had restrictions that weren't obvious from the maps. But there are a few remaining ones that we would like to explore. They are, some of them are under the purview of other departments, and we didn't want to get crossways with going ahead and doing anything without the blessing of the Open Space Committee. But so I guess it would be helpful not only for the budgeting for the appraisal money, which I agree with Ann seems a little bit high, to have the permission or the go-ahead from Open Space to at least contact these other departments that may have purview over those just for an opening discussion on, you know, what would it be feasible to do in exchange for that parcel.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee? Yes, Howard.
Would, directing towards staff, Roger and Ann, would an exchange of another department's assets require Open Space to reimburse that department?
That's a distinct possibility that they could happen, especially property if it was under the ownership of utilities or, you know, that. Now, there are properties that are not, well, they're actually under the Parks and Recreation Department, but they're categorized for a different use. And that would probably then require also entering the Park and Recreation Commission into the discussion as well, too.
So I guess my concern is that even though there would be a swap, it would still create a liability for the Open Space to fund reimbursement to that.
It could if the property was part of an enterprise function of the city. If it's a general fund, property owned by the general fund of the city, it may not require reimbursement. We'd have to look into that.
And further, so, I mean, I would imagine the city has a pretty good idea of what it might consider surplus property at this time too, and so with that, I've always heard these land swap deals, and with the in my years of doing land acquisition, and it's very difficult, but with that in mind, it might be worthwhile to go through with it.
Mike, did you have a comment?
Yeah, and it's to Howard's question. We did have this discussion in the meeting because there were all kinds of ownership priorities with parcels that we could identify. One of the ones is with parks, and I brought up the idea because of the liability is, okay, the biggest attraction to this, besides not having billboards or houses or gas station up there on Highway 50 and the eyesore, is the access into the Kings Canyon Wilderness. Well, if a parcel, for example, were a trade parcel was under the auspices of parks, then the trailhead potentially could not be, you could donate that from Open Space to parks, and then it's parks to parks. So, you know, there aren't many departments that might be the case, but some of the parcels we looked at fell into that category.
An advantage there is we know who to talk to.
Okay. So as I guess I would capsulize this, we are considering the authorization or the request to go to the Board of Supervisors for the expenditure of money for potential appraisals that might work with a serious candidate, if you will, as far as a trade or swap were concerned. And this represents, in effect, the next step to determine if we can find a trading partner parcel that would work. And so I guess with that, we're back to the committee for any action or further discussion you might have.
I'm willing to make the motion. I move to recommend to the Board of Supervisors the possible acquisition of 20 acres APN 007051-81, consider a trade of other parcels, and the expenditure of up to $30,000 for appraisals from the open space budget.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any further public comment or discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay, the motion carries. Item 3E, discussion and possible action to recommend to the Board of Supervisors acceptance of the monitoring report for the Horse Creek Ranch conservation easement for 2013. Ann?
Thank you. Mr. Fagan was about to leave, and he could. But this is a monitoring report from 2013. We have conducted a report for completed the visit for 2014. The report is not ready, but there aren't any issues to bring to the committee's attention, and it's a matter of any questions, comments from the committee.
Yeah, there are quite a few pictures and so on in the discussion that I don't know that we need to go through, but certainly if people have questions, we should pursue those. Any committee? Yes, Howard.
I have an observation in the time of the baseline to the most recent pictures. We've had nothing but drought, and looking at the conditions, I've seen improvement, so I think... Things are going quite well.
Thank you. And you brought up one change I would like the committee to make in their motion is in the baseline condition report, I added the comment photo taken August 30th, 2006. That date does need to be corrected to February 4th, 2009. But otherwise, yes, thank you. Yeah, I'm surprised as well. Drought conditions. But the water's still flowing. It's perennial water sources up in that meadow.
Yeah, I'd still like to see us take a good look at some of those head cuts and see if there's some relatively minor, but some things we might consider. One of the advantages of not having a lot of water flowing is you don't get a lot of erosion. But if we could do some stabilization or work in that vein, I think it might be helpful in the bigger picture, longer term. Margie.
We have someone sitting in the back of the audience very quietly who might be interested in doing some of that kind of work for us, too.
The interloper back there? Good evening, Dan. Nice to see you. Any other questions or comments from the committee? Any public comment? Yes, Mike.
First of all, sorry for trying to run out. I forgot we had to do this part. The fact that the meadow's in good shape, I have to commend Jeff Schultz for his stewardship, for keeping the flume open, and I know John works on it too, and Charlie and Bill are in the audience. So the Schultzes have done a good job of helping manage that. On the head cuts, most of those were like that when I bought the property. I haven't seen those deteriorating any. And I'd also like to thank Committee Member Evans for helping us chop thistle a couple of years ago, and because it really made a big difference. I would say that we're down two-thirds in the thistle. We didn't get out there this year, but another couple of seasons of that, and we'll, I think, have it licked.
Yeah, I didn't mean to imply there was an issue with regard to recent usage. I just think that if we could arrest some of that that has been there for a long time, it might be helpful to move it in the even better direction. And the photographs between 2009 and 2013 definitely show improvement, even though, as Howard says, we've had some pretty dry weather. So, okay. Do we have a motion on the item?
I move to recommend to the Board of Supervisors acceptance of the monitoring report for the Horse Creek Ranch conservation easement for 2013.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
A second.
Okay, moved and seconded. On the discussion, Ann, does that motion meet your request on the...
I can make those changes.
Okay. All right, any public comment? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries. You can go now. Thank you. Okay, item 3F, recommend to the Board of Supervisors a work program outline for the year 2015. And that is July 1, 2015 through June 30, 2016.
The work program outline is for the calendar year.
Calendar year, okay.
If you like, I can try to plan it for fiscal year this time.
Most of us think in calendar years anyway, so that'd be fine. Go ahead.
Okay, so this item follows perfectly in discussion with our budget. The work program is a reference for the budget, and it also helps provide direction on a wide range of projects that we spend our time and our money. With that said, I think it's 6 pages, our work program, but I would like to emphasize to the committee that since September, there's been one staff member managing 2 jobs. And so projects have had to be prioritized, and those prioritized projects are those with grant funding tied with timelines and deadlines. So moving ahead, some of the projects, the information is organized into 4 main categories. The first one is management activities, and I listed staff first. The new natural resource specialist, the position closed last Thursday. We had 31 applicants. Have not had a chance to see who they are or their qualifications, but we'll plan to do that in the next few weeks with interviews in January and starting hopefully soon after. I need the help. The new Ann. Then one of the other items that the committee has discussed, but I would like to bring to you in a future agenda item, is a new ranger. Whether that's a deputy ranger or a park ranger / maintenance worker, that will be discussed at a later time, but it's important to have on our work plan. And then the Carson City weed coordinator. As I mentioned, the position was previously housed at Cooperative Extension. Their budget has been cut, and the position has been cut just out of the office. And so our department, because open space and parks were part of the weed coalition, we were talking with Public Works and trying to identify efforts and how can we make this happen. Carson City needs a weed coordinator. We've talked with the Carson Water Subconservancy. We've looked at just about any and all options. But we're keeping those conversations going. And at this time, that new weed coordinator would probably be supervised by the open space program. There's grants for improvements along Ash Canyon Road, 2 grants, one of which we're trying to close, and then we have a new one for additional projects. There's education with schools. Carson High School received a grant from the Deer Tags program. Let's see what the full name was there for a minute. I can't find it quickly. Dream Tags through Western Nevada Foundation.
Dream Tags Foundation through the Community Foundation of Western Nevada.
And Carson High School was awarded $4,748. And that grant provides funding for their school buses up to Quill Ranch, provides the students opportunities to learn about weeds, revegetation, wildlife habitat, and our watershed. We are working on fuels reduction projects. We will continue volunteer opportunities and weed control. The next category is capital improvement projects, the Eagle Valley Creek Crossing and Trail Extension. I'm really hopeful that that bridge will be installed next year. It wasn't installed this year, but I'm hopeful it will be installed next year. The old stone shed at the Old Buzzies Ranch property, I will bring that as another item in the future to the committee. At this time, your staff report does include some of the quotes that we have received. Due to rota activity and associated risks within the structure, there would need to be a hazardous team cleaning in order to even bring contractors in to look at the structure, to do the measurements, to look at the roof before we can even repair. So at the current time, the minimum cost for that roof repair is $17,000. But I will bring more information on what we will do with the rest of the structure as well. The other alternative is demolition. There's the V&T Trail north of Coombs Canyon Road. Several different easements with state lands and private property owners and the Eagle Valley Children's Home in that area. And there's been improvements to the waterfall trail and trailhead with a new entrance area and kiosks. The third category is planning activities. In this category, there are two annual activities. There's the annual report to the Board of Supervisors and the conservation easement monitoring. And then there's a couple of activities that are on this list until they're completed. And one of those is the identification of fees and charges, particularly related to Silver Saddle Ranch, education and information, federal agencies such as the BLM Resource Management Plan with the deadline of March 27th, the land exchange with BLM. I'd like to start the conversation with the committee about a celebration when we get those lands. What do we want to do? And then the management plan for the Carson River to complete those comments. And the final category is land transactions. Within this category, on my list, I try to identify where are we in all these land transactions. Generally, we're not in the land acquisition business, but there's two that are somewhat active. There's the Benham Marshall, which is located in Upper Ash Canyon. It's happening, but not really by us. Nevada Land Trust has a grant from the Terminal Lakes grant program. They are working with state lands who we hope will acquire the property. And if I, not state lands, with state parks. And if I need to, I'll help with state parks and encourage their acquisition of that property. But that is active, that's moving. Another one is the Clear Creek property owned by Nevada State Lands. Recently, that went to the Board of Supervisors to rezone those parcels. And the reason that rezoning was moving forward is to increase the value of those properties for state lands so they could sell an easement, sell the property, whatever it was to maximize their value with the intent that Carson City would get the trail and trailhead in that location to connect with the existing trail, Clear Creek Trail. Unfortunately, that was not approved by the Board of Supervisors. But there's several groups, the Carson Valley Trails Association and others who are still engaged in those talks. Past activity, and we have some members, is the Old Woods Ranch. Back in 2010, there was an application for the NRCS Farm and Ranch, and it just was not funded at that time. So this is a project that was approved by this committee, approved by the Board of Supervisors, and the grant was submitted, it just wasn't funded. So it's one of those, with the family members here tonight, just to have on your radar, but also, is there any interest just to keep this on your list? Another priority is water and water rights. It really hasn't been on our list, but when we acquired the ranch parcels out by the river, this committee and the Board of Supervisors promised to keep those fields green. So I'm just not sure how that's going to happen. So again, just to have it on your list, I don't have any proposals that I'm bringing to the committee, but if something comes available, I would like to keep that on your radar. Another property recently, Bill Schultz is here. This property is identified on our open space opportunities map. He contacted staff a few months back and asked if there was any interest from the committee to purchase this property. Another project on the list is the freeway multi-use path. This would be continuing the path now from Fifth Street South. There's a little path on the Lampa parcel, but then it would continue path further south. So similar to the Araith parcel, we would just look at small select areas, what we need to do to get a path completed in those areas. That project is just on the list. Nothing's happening, and it will only begin when it's initiated by staff. Other projects that are on hold is the conservation easement on the Collard property in Kings Canyon, along Kings Canyon Road. They are just waiting for the market to come back and increase the value of their property, and the Lampa Lane wetlands / Steinheimer wetlands. So that's a lot for the year. Any questions?
Any questions from the committee? Yes, Trish.
Regarding the Lampa Lane wetlands, the Steinheimer wetlands, now, if memory serves me, we've invested some funds into that property in terms of planning, and there's a trail that we put in there, et cetera, but we don't own it yet? How come we can't get...
So there's two wetlands. So if you... can imagine the freeway bisects the wetlands. There's wetlands on the west side across the street from the Boys and Girls Club. So that would be the Fullstone wetlands. And then there's wetlands on the east side near St. Teresa's Church. And even so, that wetlands is divided then what we refer to as the Lampa wetlands, which is St. Teresa's Church, that whole area up by Harley Davidson. And then further south, and there's a sign, Steinheimer Wetlands. That is the area that is still privately held. We do own the northern two-thirds.
The part that we did the work on.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
I would like to add a activity that I think you might be busy with, and that's, you know, with the economy improving, I think we might see a lot of development activity, and so I encourage you to keep your finger on the pulse of opportunities that may arise from various development.
We certainly do that. Anytime there's development proposals, they are sent and submitted to the planning division, and then they are sent out throughout the city for our comments. But we'll do that.
Donna.
Just a couple of things. On the Eagle Creek crossing, is there any chance we're going to lose that money if we don't build that bridge soon?
We could lose the money, but the grant deadline is another 4 years away.
Oh, okay. And also, under education schools, I would like to add that you develop a relationship with the, I believe there's a teacher that's the consultant for the projects, because as we've seen, that's a good place to get some projects done. In fact, I have an idea for one that I think would be very beneficial, and I can talk to you about that later. But I'm sure there's kids who have no idea what they would do and are looking for suggestions.
Donna, if I could kind of follow up on your question about the funding for the Eagle Creek Bridge project, too. That's a SNPLMA project funded SNPLMA project. And just to kind of reassure you a little bit, we're, I think it was around 13 SNPLMA project. We're headed into round 15, or I think next. There are still some projects that have not been completed that were maybe round one, round two. And the BLM is not happy about that. And they, you know, they are trying to make sure that those projects get completed, but we're well within kind of the safe zone and within the project limitations.
And just one other thing, with the possibility of finally hiring a park ranger, we really do need the ordinances so that the park ranger isn't sitting there with nothing to support him or her.
Other comments from the committee or questions? Couple things. Just a reminder, you know, filling Ann's position simply gets us back 6 months later to where we were, still behind the eight ball and not really doing as much management as we'd like. So I think the idea of moving forward to me with regard to the park ranger slash maintenance type, you know, dual use person really makes a lot of sense and is something that I would hope we could look hard at as we go into 2015. We have a sort of an unfunded liability the way I see it with regard to our management. The other thing on something like that, I don't know, is the project management for the Eagle Valley Creek Bridge, is that handled within Public Works? Is that
correct? For the Eagle Valley Creek Bridge, that project management is managed by Public Works. However, after the time that we acquired that grant, Public Works set a policy that any other projects that they manage, that they will need budget to charge their time to. So we need to think ahead with that concept.
Do we have a budget estimate from them as to what they need?
They don't need anything for this project because
This is on. This is prior to that change. We should be sure and thank them.
We have to keep reminding them of that too.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. Is there any public comment on the proposed work outline for 2015? Okay. Any further discussion from the committee? Oh, come on forward. Didn't mean to rush you.
I didn't know when I should step up, but I'm Charlie Gifford, and I'm here representing the Old Wood Ranch LLC, which we know is the bottom part of the meadow. And I just want to reinsert that our family is interested in doing a conservation easement, mainly for a couple reasons. One is to lock up the rest of the meadow and to take the pressure off of us in terms of development proposals. And the other, more the main one, is we'd like to use this to build up an endowment so we can hand it down with the ranch so that our next generation would be able to keep, hopefully keep it and keep it intact. And in terms of this, I was able to get a hold of Jim Gifford, no relation of the, is it NC?
He's with NRCS.
NRCS. Mm-hmm. And asked him about what might be available, and he seemed pretty positive that we would qualify again. It's under, it's a different program that the old FF or whatever it is, that ran out. So he's supposed to get back to me. And he didn't know for sure if Carson City, if the city could be the partner that initiates it and that gets it going. Or I believe last time we went through the Nature Conservancy, but they might have to be in one of those, might the Nevada Land Conservancy or the Nature Conservancy might have to be a part of it. So we're pursuing it from that end, and I guess he'll probably get in contact with you.
And to provide the committee and the public too, so the uncolored parcel on the map here is the conservation easement that we have with Michael Fagan. The Woods Ranch, it's these two parcels, is that right, Charlie?
Right.
Yep, just to the south end. So it does include some of that meadow.
Thank you.
Charlie, thank you very much. And we appreciate your interest and your being here. I guess, confirm with the committee, you know, my sense that while we're not in a financial position to make any major commitments, we certainly are in a position to recognize the potential value of that conservation easement and to be a facilitator in any way we can with regard to any of these entities that might be able to help with the acquisition of or the provision of money for that acquisition. I mean, this is, in my mind, a key piece of unfinished business if we can do it. So the continued interest on the family's part is greatly appreciated, and hopefully at the very least we can be supportive and provide some staff time and you know, if the committee can help in terms of support as well. In the meantime, while you're trying to find grants or find other sources of funding, I think it would just be terrible if we weren't able to do something to preserve that meadow, the balance of the meadow.
Well, so, appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bill, did you have a comment?
Yes. Hi, Bruce. I'm Bill Schultz, and I would represent another entity close to the Schultz family, the Schultz Investments, we call our part of the family. And we own the property to the east of the Woods Ranch, the old Woods Ranch area. That one there, yes. That one and that one, yeah, both of those. So 200, that one up there is 80 acres, and it touches your Carson parcel there, the blue one. And then the 275-acre parcel that runs that direction. So we're trying to explore ideas of what the city's appetite may be for open space in that area. There is no meadow there. It's brushland. It's below what people know of as Frog Rock. There's a rock on top of the hill. And we're looking to possibly work with our other side of the family that Charlie just represented and see if there's any combination of things that could happen or if the city has any appetite at all toward the property that I'm speaking of here. And just to explore what that might be. There's some trail possibilities if it matches your trail map or if there's other things that might link up to Voltaire Canyon Road, things like this. We've looked at some overlook areas that have a nice views with Juan Guzman, and I think Ann said she's seen that too. So there might be some possibilities, and I'm here to represent the Schultz Investment side to begin to explore that. We're only at a beginning stage, exploring it that direction with Ann, in that direction with my other part of the family.
So. Thank you, Bill.
Okay,
and, you know, we're, we may be poor, but we're in the land business. So we're always interested. So if you can explore with staff and there's something that staff feels would be fit with the committee's priorities and the budget situation, we're glad to have that. You know, that interface.
Yeah, it may help my family move ahead and the other families in the other Schultz area. And maybe the answer is the opposite, that you don't have any real interest in it. We need to hear that too, possibly. So.
Sure. No,
okay,
I understand.
You. All right. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Any other public comment? Okay. Is there a motion from the committee?
I move to recommend to the Board of Supervisors a work program outline for the year 2015.
Okay, second?
I'll second.
All right. Further discussion? Public comment? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay, the motion carries. Okay, we have the work program and the activities.
3G.
Okay, recommend to the Board of Supervisors approval of the annual activities of the Open Space Advisory Committee for calendar year 2014. Ann and or Roger.
It It is December, so it is our year in review and a time to talk about some of our accomplishments through the year. Similar to our work plan, I tried to categorize this in some of the categories. But even before the categories, I did want to honor and recognize Juan Guzman, who served the open space program since 2000. He was our first open space manager, and he accomplished many great things for Carson City. And so I'm honored to follow and follow Juan.
It's a question whether that picture really honors him, but certainly it recognizes him.
The office lives. So in land management, we were successful with a couple projects. We conducted some maintenance projects along Ash Canyon Road. We conducted fuels treatments along the west side of town. We did brush mastication on 9 to 10 acres. And then we also continued another year of the sheep grazing. And your report identifies some of the media that we received with that project as well, the newspapers, TV stations, and then some of the education opportunities with the schools. Again, here we talked about the environmental education with the various schools and the Carson High School and the grant source and what they're doing. Later on in your packet, there's actually a news article from the Nevada Appeal that highlighted the Carson High Schools when they were up at Quill Ranch. Also, the Sierra Nevada College Environmental Program for the second year incorporated our lands into their classroom, and it's possible that in February you will see one of those presentations specifically related to Carson River Canyon and some of their recommendations. We definitely need to recognize the help of our volunteers. We have a few individuals, Dr. Rob Bowder and Dick Wiffley, who help us on the west side of town, mostly on the west. They do help on the east as time allows. And then Mr. Paul Sennett, he lives at around Prison Hill, and he's been helping with trash cleanup and some of the trail maintenance work in that area. And Muscle Powered, and then of course not to forget Donna Inverson. She received the honor and award of Volunteer of the Year. And in your packet is the
That's bio. Great, Donna. Our very own. Congratulations.
I can tell you, when I got the email, because I usually get that email every year, and I got it, and I go, oh, who got it this year? And I'm reading through it.
Also in the newsletter are three photos of the North Kings Canyon Bridge. This bridge is located on Forest Service lands, and I'm sad to say the Forest Service finished their bridge before we finished ours. But I'm hoping that will can be completed by the end of the year. The difference is on Carson City lands, we needed a licensed contractor to build, and that contractor who has the building permit has been busy with other projects.
Yeah, I don't think Forest Service had anything to do with that.
It was built by volunteers, and definitely they're the ones who made that project happen. I just wish we could do that on city lands just as easy. Additional capital improvement projects included the waterfall trail. If you've not been out there, take a look at some of the projects. There are still some signage components that are in development stages right now, probably to be completed within the next few months. Our planning and activities and reports, we finished the draft management plan. So that was a challenge in itself. We're working on the revisions. The Nevada State Line to State Line Bikeway has received a significant amount of money for the State Route 28 section. 3 miles of trail will be built, and there will be improvements to 8 of the parking areas in that corridor. We also conducted the conservation easement monitoring on Horse Creek Ranch. Land acquisitions, slow year, but we were broke. We're hoping to complete the Oraith acquisition. If we don't finish it by the end of December, I will go ahead and take it off the newsletter before this goes to the Board of Supervisors, and then we'll include it next year as a success. And financial considerations, our efforts will continue to be directed towards the management of lands. and all of our acquisitions. We've been great at leveraging our money, and where there are acquisitions, we will continue to look for those leverage opportunities. Any questions?
I'd like to make a comment. Ann caught my attention on the reef property, and she said if it's not completed, we'll take it off and put it on next year's. Juan would have had it on both years. He would have gotten credit 2 years in a row for it. So.
Okay. Yes, Howard.
Is that acquisition subject to any NDOT timelines?
The Wraith acquisition is not subject to any NDOT timelines.
Margie, did you have a question or comment?
I know that during the past year, Juan, before he left, and I'm sure now Ann too, is keeping an eye on the BLM's progress forward of transferring that property. Any updates?
That was a good question to ask BLM when they were in the house.
I know.
I do not have any updates. The latest progress that I know is there are a number of residents and utility companies that have right-of-way permits across the lands that will be transferred. BLM sent a letter to all of those respective users with options either to submit a request for a permanent right-of-way or just when that timeline ends to work with the city. And so there are residents who have submitted a request for a permanent, and so BLM is processing those. The deadline for BLM to receive that request was just November, and so they will need to complete that before the transfer. As far as I know, that's the last piece of the puzzle.
Okay, any other questions on our annual report? We'll be presenting that to the Board of Supervisors probably in January. Is there any public comment regarding the annual report? Okay, thank you, Ann. We have a number of things, activities, publications, publicity, the meeting schedule for 2015, and I think it's important that we recognize the passing of Pete Livermore here recently, who was very much a factor in many, many of the parks and open space activities, developments, initiatives, and so on for Carson City for many years. Also, of course, a supervisor and an assemblyman. At this point, are there any reports from committee members? Donna.
Juan Guzman, he has not gone away. two things regarding that. Juan has agreed to run for Muscle Powered Board, so we've not lost him at all. And the other thing is Juan and I and Mark Kimbrough went up to Sierra Nevada College for Rose Hackett, is it? Yes, class. What is her class title, Anne? Do you remember offhand?
I had it listed in the packet as like the environmental studies program or something similar.
Yes. This is the second year her class has done projects in Carson City on land. And what they do is they go out and evaluate a piece of open space land as to what the problems are, and they make recommendations. And this year was much better than last year. There were 5 different projects. They did an excellent job. The entire thing was videotaped, and she's sending a copy of that to Mark Kimbrough. So we may be looking to set up a time when we could invite the board and whoever would like to come and see those recommendations. The kids didn't come up with anything innovative. It's pretty much what we all know our problems and issues are and kind of what our solutions would be if we could, in a perfect world, have them. But it is nice to see young people that are eager and have not been beaten down, yet that are still very much interested in open lands and saving and protecting and lands and things like that. I have been talking to Rose, and the plan for next year is rather than we go up to Sierra Nevada College for the presentations, that we make arrangements to have a place here in town and open it up to a lot more people, and that the kids present here. And because it's part of their education is to do that presentation also. So the more people they get to do that, the better. And we may even talk about seeing if we could arrange for them to present to this committee. So it's a great project to work with the school, and nobody up in the Tahoe Basin is willing to work with her, so we get her. So that is nice.
Thank you, Donna. Any other committee reports? Go ahead, Trish.
I would just like to say congratulations to you, Anne, on being appointed the new Carson City Open Space Manager, as I was unable to be here at the meeting following your appointment. So congratulations.
Any other board reports? Last call for public comment. Okay. Any further staff report? Oh, Donna has some.
It's in the packet, but I want to bring it up. We are now officially a bicycle-friendly city.
That was good work.
Yeah, we've got a lot of work ahead of us to move ourselves up from bronze to, I think, gold is the top. And but we're in the money now, so that's good.
Well, good. Thank you. Roger, Ann, anything further from staff? Okay, do we have a motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
Okay. Meeting adjourned. Thank you very much.